This is the 11th annual Phoenix Fly Celebration.
Yes.
Yes.
Just some quick numbers as to the dates, the number of events, and how many partners you have.
The events this year run from March 8th through the 23rd. There are 237 events this year that are free and available to the public. They are at sites throughout Atlanta. We have 80 preservation partners, which is 10 more than we had last year. There are 12 new sites, lots of great statistics. And there are almost 100 places throughout the city that are going to be visited during Phoenix Flies. It's all free.
Well, 2014 marks the 150th anniversary commemoration, if you will, of the Battle of Atlanta. And
yes.
I got to think that's going to overshadow a lot of things this year, including some of the stuff that you guys are doing. What do you have planned to commemorate the Battle of Atlanta?
Well, I'm on the Civil War Commission for the city, and they are conceptualizing that idea as civil war to civil rights. So everything that we've done in Phoenix Flies really plugs into that. And the way we've defined this before we even got into that cooperative effort is the idea that Atlanta has a lot of history. We're celebrating 150 years since the battle. Mm-hmm. So this over 100 years of history worth preserving just in that time. And then, of course, we have things before the war as well. So that is part of what we're doing. We also have an exhibit that we're cooperating with the Atlanta History Center. And that will be a photographic exhibit that will showcase the images that we have of antebellum Atlanta buildings, you know, almost all of which have disappeared. So it'll be an opportunity for people to come into our office, which is an antebellum building. It's what Franklin Garrett, the city's last historian, described as the most historic building in the city. And in the drawing room there, we'll have these images that I think will evoke the period that we're celebrating, the beginning of that period.
For Civil War buffs, people interested in the actual Battle of Atlanta, you're offering a walking tour or two, I would imagine.
Yes, and we're cooperating with several groups about doing, I think 10 years ago, we celebrated the 140th with a walk through Inman Park. It really evoked the whole battle. Charlie Crawford, who is just brilliant at this, took us through. It took several hours, and we walked the battlefield, and the terrain is still there. And his descriptions were able to evoke really a sense of what happened and how it happened and the movement and of troops. And that was a wonderful experience. We're hoping to repeat that at some time during the autumn.
The Preservation Center's headquarters, of course, is the Lemuel P. Grant Mansion in Grant Park, which predates the Civil War.
Yes.
In Atlanta per se, in Atlanta proper, are there any other buildings that date?
There are many that people will comment on. There are three to four that we can prove. The one that we are able to prove absolutely with a date is the Lemuel P. Grant Mansion. We know that he began that in about 1854. It was designed by an architect who was down in Savannah, came up here and was associated with the railroads, as was Colonel Grant. And the Grants moved into it in the spring of 1856 and continued to add details such as the fireplaces and all throughout that year. So we have the letters documenting when they moved in and what they were working on. Then there's another house that we've been very concerned about for a number of years. It's the Judge Wilson House on Fairburn Road, which is now a ruin. It is the same kind of construction that our house is, which is rubble stone. And it's something that was kind of characteristic of Atlanta at that period, and we only have these two examples left now. That house is in desperate condition, and we've tried to draw attention to its plight and the fact that it's one of only three to four buildings of its kind left in the city. Then there's Meadow Nook, which is over in East Lake. It's been wonderfully restored and is lived in as a private residence. Then the Collier House in Sherwood Forest may be antebellum. There's a lot of discussion and argument about that. It's known that there was something on that site, and this house may be antebellum or it may be a reconstruction immediately after the war.
One listing I noticed in your pamphlet is entitled Unseen Underground, and I think you indicated that this is something that's special to the Phoenix Fly celebration. It's not something that's normally done. It sounds awfully mysterious to me.
It is, and it's it honestly, at this point, it's already full. We've already filled all 50 spots for it every year. It's extremely popular. I think people pass by so much of Atlanta's history without even noticing it. They drive over what used to be 12 tracks that went through the center of town. There's another great tour called Rails to the Future that also talks about that history and how we basically built a road on top of the rails and on top of these other roads because we kind of ran out of space, but it really got to be very, very unsafe. Can you imagine trying to walk across 12 rail tracks?
Well,
not on foot?
Unsafe, but
oh, my
inefficient.
Goodness. Inefficient, yeah.
So this tour, essentially, you're sort of moving around underneath the city.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Well, and you're looking at the area that was the genesis of our city. Mm-hmm. And this is also an area that we are very interested in terms of preservation advocacy. The area south of the rails surrounding the Capitol and then west to the train tracks, part of the southern part of the gulch, is really the oldest part of our city and contains some of our oldest commercial buildings. Some of them date back really almost to the Reconstruction period. And recently, a year or so ago, we had cooperated with an effort to have that looked at and determined eligible for the National Register. The idea being that we were trying to do preemptive preservation efforts in that area. And sure enough, as you know, the new stadium is going just across from there. So there'll be all sorts of pressures on this really wonderful historic asset that nobody has looked at and that as yet it's not protected in any way. So this is a particular treasure for the city that our citizens need to be aware of. It's on our website as the why, which is the shape of the three railroads coming together that then form the design that made all the city grids fit in a certain way right there where the city started.
Many of the activities are family-friendly, and there's one in there called Box City, which I hadn't recognized before. Well, what's that?
That's a program that we've done for a very long time at the Preservation Center. It's a national program, and it goes into the elementary schools and sort of teaches civics and citizenship and the value of preservation and sort of how cities evolve and how one piece interacts with another piece. So there's a map that's placed down, and then there's a discussion of some architectural history, some preservation concepts, some city planning concepts, and then the children actually construct a building that interests them. Boys usually do either a fort, or we had one who did a center for torture and maiming and that sort of thing. And then girls will quite often, you know, do a house. Once that's done and they've been creative about what they've put together, then the real point comes, which is juxtaposing those on the map. And you have an opportunity to discuss what an industrial waste complex, the impact that that has on a residential area or what a hospital does in a certain area. And it makes the children think about the connectivity of the parts of a city in ways that we think will be very additive if they carry those viewpoints forward and understand how when we live together in a city, we all interact in a way that affects the other person.
Architectural preservation, if I can use that phrase, when most people think about that, they think, oh, it's about buildings that are 100 years old or older. But the National Historic Register defines, and I'll use the word antique buildings, worthy of preservation as anything that's over 50 years old. So I was thinking, well, my gosh, if you look at Atlanta, so many of the close-in suburbs were built in the late 50s or early 1960s. Does that mean they'd all qualify? Eventually, when you think that's a lot of brick ranches and split levels that could be...
They would if they retain their character-defining features. And this is something that we sort of contend with the understanding of here in Atlanta all the time. Preservation is not about freezing something in amber so that you have to live with a 50s kitchen or you have to live with something exactly as it was. That's great when it happens and if it works. But preservation is really about things which retain their spirit, retain their character, and yet are usable in the present is the ideal that we seek to promote. And there are ways for people to develop or to change or to adapt things that don't denature the historic asset. And that's what one of the things that we're trying to communicate. And so, yes, we do have vast amounts of resources here. And modernism, we have wonderful modernism in Atlanta. And that's something that we find isn't appreciated because people think in terms of 100 years old. But one of the things that we've just basically lost is the I.M. Pei building, the first building that the great modernist architect I.M. Pei did in America, which most cities would have treasured and protected and been very proud of, having really the first building by such a major figure. We're going to have part of a curtain wall will be all that's left because of the way Atlanta thinks about these things. And that's what we'd like to change. There are many, many private developers here who understand preservation and have done beautiful projects that have added to our city and retained the historic integrity of these assets. And it's those that we're trying to hold up in this festival so that people will understand what is possible for a rich environment in our city.
In the past year, how have things been on the battlefront to preserve Atlanta? What's the best highlight? What's your big success story in the last year?
The big successes would be the things that we've been working on literally for over a decade. Things like the castle, like the DAR, where they're private individuals who've come in and responded to the idea of what preservation can contribute and the unique environment that they can have by doing a preservation project. And so those are the positive things that we're really enjoying the fruits of long, long-term efforts.
And the lowlights or the enduring challenge of the last year?
Without a doubt, Crum Foster.
Yeah, Crum Foster.
That is a huge loss to the city, not only in terms of a very, very beautiful building.
In Midtown Atlanta, the Georgia Tech.
Yes, and the example that sets by a major development entity being unable to design a development on the majority of a block to accommodate a city landmarked building. And then the whole legal process that proceeded from that and how that fell out and the way that was handled at a city governmental level. The purpose of any law, in my opinion, would be that it should be generally applied to everyone. And if we have a landmark law that isn't held up and isn't supported at this level, then it puts in danger all the other assets. Wonderful neighborhoods like Inman Park, you know, where development is happening there in a very healthy and fulsome way, and yet is being done according to the regulations that the neighborhood wrote for itself to preserve its historic character. So progress is happening there, progress being positive change, and additions are being made there that are being done in a way that doesn't take anything away from what these people have invested in their environment previously. And yet, if you can get around that system, if you can put, say, a big box store there because it's in someone's economic interest or because they're largely influential in the city, then is it really a protection? And that's the essential question that action asks, I think, of the city. So that was a double loss in that.
The Phoenix Flies celebration beginning on March 8th. The easiest way for folks to get information is what?
Probably our website, which is www.preserveatlanta.com.
Boyd Coons is the executive director, and Carolyn Stein McLaughlin is the events coordinator for the Atlanta Preservation Center. Good to see you both again. Thank you.
Good to see you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.